You are tuned in to Kids in the Pit.
Hey guys, it's Gabe from the Kids in the Pit podcast. Today I'm joined by Josh Jerk from the band School Drugs. So my mom and my dad and me flew to Cleveland to see Bad Religion in October 21st. And you guys were opening for them. So, and like my dad like saw the kick drum and they were like, wait, that's a School Drugs kick drum. And like, we were like, are they opening? And then we saw you guys started playing and it was really cool. And we got to say hi and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And thanks for doing this.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what do you do in School Drugs?
I sing in School Drugs. I do all of the art. Write most of the music.
Nice. Like drums and everything, or just like guitars and, or what?
And I have something very specific that I want for like a specific part for drums. Like I'll, you know, write that, meaning I'll show Chris, like, you know, this. Do this thing.
Yep.
Or explain it in drummer speak, which is usually, you know, like, you know, it's a chicka 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 chicka, not a butta 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 butta.
Yep. So, and you did some artwork for Bad Religion, right?
I did.
Nice. Yeah, that was really cool. So, what genre would you consider School Drugs?
I would consider School Drugs to be a hardcore punk band.
Nice. Cause yeah, it's a bit like, different from like, main, hardcore and punk kind of, right?
Yeah. There's a certain point where hardcore punk kind of diverts into, you know, different genres of hardcore.
Yeah, full random crazy genre names.
Yeah. You know, we're definitely not like a beat down band. We're not like a really heavy hardcore band. More in line with like 80s hardcore punk before it kind of turned into just hardcore or punk, you know, because we don't sound like the Ramones or the Sex Pistols and we don't sound like, you know, Madball. For instance,
yeah. There's a lot of like crazy genre different things now.
Yeah, it's definitely somewhere in the middle between the Sex Pistols and Madball, which is like such a hilariously wide margin of stuff, you know.
Yep, sure. So I'm homeschooled and straight edge for life, so I have nothing in common with your band name because I don't go to school and I don't do drugs.
Go to school, you just don't go to a school.
Well, I mean, I don't go to, I mean, I just do like some schoolwork. I don't know.
You do, you have to do schoolwork. There's no way that you don't do schoolwork, and I'm sure your parents are fantastic at
administering
schoolwork.
True. Website called Sporcle, Sporcle, and it has all these like random quizzes and stuff, and I learned every single country. Where it is, most capitals, and I don't know too many bodies of water, but I know a good amount, and I know every U.S. state and every capital of U.S. states.
But he doesn't know how to add fractions.
Yeah, I hate math!
I also hated math. Do you know, like, your times tables?
Kinda.
Pick one, ask him one, I don't know.
They don't really teach that anymore.
I don't know my times tables. you can just tell me.
And you're doing okay.
Ask me one.
4 times 7.
8, 16, wait. The 4 times 2 would be 8. 4 times 4 would be 16. 4 times 8 would be 32. So 28?
Yeah. But like, I just learned them when I was a kid. I just knew them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You just know what 4 times 8 is, right? Like, you just, or 4 times 7.
I'll show you the weird way that I learned, like, that I taught myself how to do multiplication. So, like, 4 times 7,
mm-hmm.
it's backwards. I don't know if, well, whichever one shows up on your thing.
Yeah, the fine. Top one came up for me.
Okay, so like 4 times 7, and then I go like, okay, 7, there's a point right here on a 4, and there's a point right here on a 4,
yep.
And there's a point right here on a 4, and there's like a point right here on a 4. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 points on a 4. So 7.
There's also another one right there.
I kind of learned something like that, though, too.
Yeah, like so like 7 plus 7, I know that. That's 14. And then 7 plus 7, that's 14. And then I go, okay, I can add 14 and 14 together.
Oh,
and
you could do 7 times 4. That's easier. Because I know right off the top of my head, 7 times 3 is 21 and 7 times 2 is 14. But then you just add 7. So that I could do like quick.
Yeah, I like figured out that one day, like, and then like a number 6 is like, okay, on the, like, if you have a number 6, it's like, okay, there's a point here, and here, and then here, here, and here.
That's wait, like, it looks like there's only, like,
I learned that weird, that stuff in school. I remember there was, like, different points.
I don't know.
But, anyway. Yeah, we...
Okay. When did school drugs start?
Like, 2016, I believe.
Oh, so, 7 years now.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice. So how old were you when you started singing in school drugs, and have you sang in any other bands?
I never just sang in any other bands, really. But when I started singing in school drugs, I was, how old am I now? I'm 32. So that was 7 years ago. I was like 25.
So, yeah, nice. So where's your band from?
The Jersey Shore would be our home.
Like everywhere across east side of New Jersey, pretty much.
Yeah, because I mean, two of us live at the shore, and then two of us live in New Brunswick, and then one of us lives in Philadelphia, but he used to live in New Jersey.
Nice. Yeah, it's not that far from us. We are just across the water in Delaware.
Yeah.
We're not, like, south, so you couldn't take a ferry to us. You would have to take a ferry and then drive, like, an hour.
I wonder if you could drive an hour south in Delaware, can you?
No, we're not south, we're north.
Oh, then yeah, then you can.
Yep.
Or you buy, like, oh, God, what's the major city in Delaware?
Dover or Wilmington?
Wilmington. Are you by, like, Wilmington?
We're, like, 40 minutes south. We're in between Dover and Wilmington. We're in Middletown.
Okay.
Yep. So what song should someone not familiar with school drugs look up?
That's a good question. I mean, the first thing that I think of is the song Modern Medicine, but that's probably just because it's, like, the one that the most people would have heard. I don't know if it's particularly the best example of what the rest of our stuff sounds like. But I'd probably say something off of, like, the latest record, maybe, Duff, if you had to pick a school drug song that was like, this is what this band sounds like, what song would you pick? It wouldn't be Modern Medicine, would it? Yeah. I had to phone a friend on this one.
Nope.
Really? My girlfriend says No Taste or Broken. I think Broken's a pretty good. We'll go with Broken, final answer.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So everyone check out Broken by School Drugs if you want to hear what they sound like. So what was the first punk or hardcore show you attended, and how old were you?
I think I was like 13. And I believe the show was Kill Your Idols, Forward to Death, Death Cycle, Crime in Stereo, The Spark, and Celebrity Murders. And it was at either Hamilton Street Cafe or Bloomfield Ave Cafe in, both those were in Montclair, right? Yeah, I think both of those places were in Montclair, New Jersey. But I get the two confused all the time because they were both, you know, Bloomfield Ave, Hamilton Street. I just get them confused.
Yep. My parents met at a Crime and Stereo show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The I have done this question before, and I actually do have the. It was, I have the flyer. It was June 13th, Sunday, June 13th, at Hamilton Street Cafe in Bound Brook, New Jersey.
Nice.
And that is.
What year was it? You said.
That was probably like 2004.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2004.
So did you get a flyer at the show, or did you like print it out something?
Oh my god. That wasn't the first show, because why? That wasn't the first show I ever went to. It couldn't be, because why would I have a flyer for that show? Unless. Yeah, I probably did. I probably did get it at the show. That's very possible. My cousin Andy, who was also in the band Tear It Up, played in a band called Fort Death that played that show, and I just like begged him to bring me to a show, and he was playing and, you know, going to that one. And he finally relented and was like, "All right, fine, you know, I'll bring you to this show." And I went to that. That's how I remember it. That's definitely how I remember it, but I'm kind of thinking maybe it wasn't because I have the flyer for the show, but it's also possible that I got the flyer for the show at the show, or he gave me the flyer for the show.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, both those things are possible.
Yep.
I think of a secondary show that if it wasn't that one, then it was Snakebite, Forward to Death, Void Control, The Little Rascals, and maybe Get Real at the Manasquan Women's Hall, probably in like the same time in like the summer of 2004.
Nice. So, yeah, just either one of those, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, I probably started going to shows when I was in like seventh grade.
Nice. My first show, it's not really a show, it's more of a concert, but it was Bad Religion when I was 9. But yeah, I learned so many lyrics for months just leading up to it. They're really the first band that got me into like punk and hardcore. What was it like opening for Bad Religion on a few shows? That's probably one of my life goals.
Very cool. It was, you know, they were all super, super nice. I've known Brian for a little bit because he lives close to where I live. So you kind of just like run into each other at the coffee shop and stuff. So it was also, you know, cool seeing your friend out on tour, like out on some dates. Because sometimes you go to like a new place and you like, you don't know anybody and people are friendly, but like, it's totally a different thing when you know somebody at a new place that you're in. You feel just more comfortable, a little bit more at home.
Yep.
And the rest of the band was super, super cool and nice to us. And playing those shows, those are like probably the biggest shows that we've ever played. It's not the biggest venue necessarily, because we played at the Stone Pony Summer Stage, but we played at, you know, 4 p.m. to significantly less people than attended the Bad Religion shows at the time that we played.
Yeah, it's so Brian was on my podcast when I was 10, which was really fun.
Nice. Good dude. Very good dude. Awesome. Still punk as could be.
Yep. Also, that show in, where was it? Was it Cleveland? Yeah, Cleveland. The stage was like really low, but it was really far back, right?
Yeah, it was really low. It was only like one step up, and then you were on the stage.
Yeah, it was weird.
But it was like really, really deep and set far back, and the barricade was pretty far from, the stage too.
Yep. Imagine if they didn't have like a barrier. That'd be nuts.
It would. I was really the so the show that we played the night before, they hadn't brought the barricade in yet, and it was in like this old church. And I was kind of stoked because I was like, oh shit, this venue is like a bit smaller than it was like half the size of the other two venues that they were playing.
Yep.
And I was like, cool, there's gonna be no barricade at this show. I might have to mosh, I might have to stage dive for this. And then they brought the barricade in, and it was the same as, any other kind of show like that.
Wonder how long it's been since Bad Religion has played without a barricade.
That's a good question. Probably, man, probably sometime in like the early 2000s, I would venture to guess.
Yeah, probably.
You know.
At Furnace Fest in Birmingham, Alabama, I did see Pennywise without a barricade because they were playing right before Bane. And Bane was headlining because they haven't played in a while. They like refuse to play shows without a barricade. I mean, with a barricade.
Yeah, I've heard of some bands doing stuff like that.
They like only want, they only want, like, they will not play a show if they have a barricade on.
Yeah, I mean, for certain bands, I understand the idea that like your fans do not understand that you shouldn't just like get on stage and hang out. So I think for some bands and their fans, it's like we're going to use this to just keep everybody, where they're supposed to be and where we're supposed to
Bad
be.
Religion, like Bad Religion fans would go nuts. Like
That's what I mean. I think at a hardcore show for a band like Bane or Turnstile or something, most people understand you get on the stage and you immediately get off as soon as you possibly can.
jump off as soon as the opportunity approaches itself.
Yeah, don't hang out. Don't take selfie pictures. Don't be this guy that's like, "Woo, look at me! I'm on stage." Because nobody likes that guy. Nobody wants that to see that guy on stage.
Yep.
Try to make myself as like, if I'm gonna stage dive, I try to get as low and like out of the way and unseen as possible, so that I'm not interrupting anything that's, happening while people are trying to play music.
Yep, like I just try to not annoy people. Like I'll stage dive sometimes, kind of a lot actually. At Furnace Fest I did probably, I think it was like maybe 10-ish stage dives. I dove a lot.
What year did you go to Furnace Fest?
Yeah, we went to Furnace Fest.
What year?
2022 and 2023.
Because I did you see a Veil? Was that 2021?
That was 2022. They might have played 2021 too. I don't know.
If you think it was 2022, then it was 2022, and I was there for that.
Just for a veil?
Yeah, because I was touring with a Veil at the time.
Oh, nice.
I was driving them around and helping out on stage and stuff.
I watched a little bit. I saw like a guy, he got like knocked out during Veil or something.
Oh, you were there. I saw the whole thing from like standing in the middle of the stage there. Somebody, I think somebody like crowd surfed or something and landed on that guy's head, and it kind of shut down the production for.
Oh, it took a second to get back
Yeah.
with.
But he was okay, and everybody was okay, and then they finished the set, and it was.
The shed's floor is dangerous. It's concrete.
Oh yeah, I yeah. Yeah. Big weird room, if you could call it a room. It's more of a building, I guess.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's just a sh it's just a big old shed.
Yeah. Just big like there's no real like doors or windows. It's just kind of open.
Walk in, and it just has a roof and like.
Yeah.
So speaking of festivals, did you have fun at Fest this year?
Yeah, I had the best time at Fest.
Great.
Probably saw the most bands that I've seen any year that I ever went to Fest. this year.
I saw a ton last year.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite sets?
Number one is probably the all set that I saw, because I've never seen all before. And
I don't really know any songs. I just know it's Descendants without Milo.
It is, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, I know. It's like a different band, but I just know it's the same. It
yeah. Like, but essentially, it's Descendants with a different singer. I'd never seen them before. I was supposed to see them in like 2011 when they were going to go on tour. And then I think Bill Stevenson had to get like brain surgery or something, so they canceled the whole tour, and they just have not toured or been to this area since then. And seeing all for the first time was, I had the same feeling and reaction as seeing Descendants for the first time. And Descendants are my absolute favorite band of all time. Like, bar none, just my absolute favorite band of all time.
I'm gonna see them at the Starland Ballroom in like April, I think.
And I will see you there.
Oh, you're going too?
Oh, definitely. Nice. The it's Adolescents, Circle Jerks, and Descendants. There's nothing bad about that show.
Yep. So back to Fest. I sang a NoFX cover with the Punk Cellist, and I loved seeing Pain of Black and Gwar. But like, Gwar was probably my favorite set that year, because like I just never saw them, and I went like right up to the front and I got all sprayed. It was nuts.
I had also never seen Gwar because I didn't really. I've never really listened to Gwar.
I don't know any songs. Like I don't really, like know. Yeah, I don't know any of the music at all. Like I don't. It's not really my genre. But like it's just so fun to watch.
Oh, it's great. And I never wanted to necessarily go see it because I didn't want to get all fucking messy. Yeah. That doesn't sound like a thing that I would have fun doing. But that was the perfect setting to see them, like, you know, really far away to be able to watch and just go like, I'm glad everybody in the front is having a good time. I'm gonna stand back here and not be a filthy mess.
My mom and dad stood very far away, and then I was right in the front though. Like I was like dyed red for the rest of the day.
Yeah. It was funny. Like walking around Fest after that and trying to like avoid people that were covered in, you know, the Gwar slime, because I was wearing a white shirt and I just didn't want to bump into somebody and like get it all. Yeah, so like it's like everybody that went and saw Gwar and stood that close was like, you know, just like a pariah to me. They were just like, they were like sick or something, just like, get away,
a virus or something.
Yeah, you're like trying to like, you're like just like walking and you're talking to your friend, you're like, yeah, so anyway, like, and then you just like jump out of the way because somebody's walking down the sidewalk next to you and you're like, I do not want to touch you, you look covered in gross.
I tried to hug my dad to get him soaked, but he wouldn't let me.
That's what I mean. It's just like, that's all right.
Yeah, no, it was funny, but yeah, I was a mess. It was nuts. But
yeah, it was very cool, and I'm very glad that I saw them. I spent a lot of time at the ska show that they had at High Dive, and the Folly cover set was a particularly fun one.
Wait, so who's that? I don't think I know them.
Folly is like a...
Oh, no, they're a ska hardcore band, right?
Yeah, more or less like a ska hardcore band from New Jersey. And they did a cover set that was all like ska punk classics. So it was like Rancid, Suicide Machines, and then a bunch of other stuff. And they ended the set with a Catch-22 song, and Catch-22 being from New Jersey, basically all School Drugs was like, you know.
They cover any Less Than Jake? Because that's like the main ska band I listen to. I know they played, but...
No, they didn't cover any Less Than Jake because Less Than Jake played, so it was probably like
Yeah, we're friends with the guy that goes in the school costume, and like the he's like the tech. And he let me shoot toilet paper guns for a few songs for both sets.
Nice. That's cool.
It was sick.
I unfortunately missed the Less Than Jake set. I believe I was eating a salad while they were playing.
I mean, yeah, I'm not too big on ska. They're like the main band I listen, main ska band I listen to, but also Keep Flying. They're like a ska band, but they also have like one like hardcore song and it's really heavy.
You might like Omnigone then. Omnigone is like somewhere between ska and hardcore.
Yep.
It's like on the slightly heavier side and has something for kind of everybody, I guess.
Nice. So what are some of your favorite bands to listen to recorded and some of your favorite bands to see live?
Recorded. I can always go back to the Dead Kennedys at like any time. I can just throw on basically any Dead Kennedys record and be happy. I can throw on any Bones record and be happy. I mean, the entire discography, I can put on any Ramones record, and there's at least three good songs on every Ramones record, and I think I'll stand by that. I think I'll stand by the statement that there's at least three good songs on any Ramones record.
Yep. The only song I know is I know Rockaway Beach. I only know Rockaway Beach and Let's Creek Bop. I haven't dove too far into Ramones, but I know Pet Sematary too. So
yeah, that's a great one, especially for the Halloween time.
Yep, definitely.
And then seeing live, I always love seeing the do you know the band Come Mierda?
No.
They're like in New Jersey. I believe that they're not stoked about the term grindcore to describe them. I feel like they usually say that they're a hardcore band, which I don't disagree with. And I would probably prefer that, frankly. But they are a New Jersey hardcore band for all intents and purposes, and they're always amazing to watch. They're always fun to watch.
So what is your favorite place you've toured in?
Ever, probably we had a really good time in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yep.
We had a really good time in America. We had a really good time in Asheville. We've had really good times in Alabama. There was a house that we played in Alabama. Or was it? No, maybe it wasn't Alabama. Well, the show in Alabama was good. The place I'm thinking of was actually in Tennessee. And it was a house called Crossroads that was like basically the living room of this house. They like, you know, took everything out of, and it's just empty. And we pulled up to the show at like 3 or 4 p.m. when it's like, where it's in the middle of nowhere. The closest thing that the place you can get food is a gas station across the street that has tacos. And that was it. There's really nothing else that was walkable. And there was a weird old barn in the back of this property. Yep. That I went and like poked around in, and we were like, you know, it's early, so we're like, nobody's coming to this show. This is, you know, this is gonna be a bust. This is gonna suck. And then basically like the second that like the show was supposed to start at like, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever, it's just like everybody fucking came, and we played with Brat from New Orleans. Everybody that lives in the fucking area that house is came to the fucking show, and it was just absolute mayhem. Place was like so packed that like when a, you know, pit opened up, it like pushed people out the front door and into the hallway and into the other adjacent rooms. And it was just like kind of a filthy mess from people like kicking up dust and everything, but it was great. And then outside of America, Slovenia was probably one of the coolest places that we
What's it called? Punk Rock Holiday? Was it that?
We played at a place in Slovenia that was essentially a squat to put it simply. And same thing, much like playing that show in Tennessee, where like we're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't even know where or what Slovenia was before we went to Slovenia. And it's, you know, it's kind of by Italy, like the...
Yeah, I know about Slovenia. It's like...
Yeah, over... you know more than I do. I had no idea where Slovenia was.
Yeah, it's around, like, southeast Europe. It's near, like you said, Italy. It's near, like, almost to Greece, but not, like, super near Greece. And the capital is... I have no idea how to pronounce it, but it's, like... It's like Lubjl something. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I know it's like L has a J, has a B. It's like Ljubljana or something.
Is that the capital?
Yes, capital.
You are very good at geography. That is very true.
Yeah, I worked a whole like year on it.
Wow.
And the flag is, I think it's, I know it's red, white, and blue, and I think there's a little like. Is that Slovakia? I don't know. But I think there's a little, like, there's a little, what's it called? What's the thing that's, like, a logo on, like, a flag almost? What's that called? An emblem? Yeah. I think it had, like a shield almost shape. No, is that Slovakia? I don't know.
You're very good at this, because I just looked up the flag of Slovenia, because I didn't know what the flag of Slovenia looked like, and you are pretty much describing it exactly. So there's a shield shape, but what's on the shield?
Oh, she just pulled it up, so.
Oh, okay.
I can't see what's on it. What's on it? Okay, it's like a mountain or something. And also, the shape of it looks like a chicken. If you look at the shape of Slovenia, it looks like a chicken.
Oh, like the country's shape?
Yeah, the country shape.
Kind of like how Italy looks like a boot.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. Hold on.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, not the country code. Oh my god, it does look like a chicken.
I know.
And yeah.
We have chickens in our backyard, and on the coop we have this little like automatic door thing. And it's called Chicken Run, and I looked and I saw the logo, and it's literally just the country of Slovenia. It's just that. And I was like,
"Did you say that you're going to feed the eastern countries?"
What?
You say that you're going outside to feed the eastern bloc countries?
Yeah. Yep.
Got to go feed Slovenia and
Croatia Czech. And
And well, Croatia.
Bosnia. What? What do you say?
Croatia.
Oh, I said that one.
Oh, my bad.
You probably didn't hear it because you were talking too.
True.
I gotta go feed Romania. I gotta go feed Montenegro. I gotta feed. I gotta go feed all of them. What else is there?
You're just showing off now.
I know. I also gotta feed. I'm cheating. I'm looking at a map. I also gotta feed. Hungary and. Hungary is pretty hungry, so I gotta go feed Hungary. I think those are pretty close.
Yeah, Hungary's border Slovenia.
I thought so. So, what was your favorite movie when you were my age?
So you're 12. So when I was 12, which means that it was like 2003. Probably still Star Wars, because the prequels were still coming out. So I feel like Attack of the Clones probably came out in like 2002-ish. If not, yeah, 2002, Attack of the Clones. So probably that, just because it was the most current Star Wars movie, and I was still am really big into Star Wars. So I probably say that or just hold over things from when I was younger. Like, I was really into the movie Labyrinth when I was little.
Yep. Also, have you been to Star Wars Land at Disney World? It's really cool.
No, I haven't. I do. I really, really want to go. The last time that I went to Disney, it wasn't open yet. So it was like the next year it opened.
Oh. Maybe School Drugs tours in like Orlando or something. You guys could try to go.
Oh, we don't have the money for that.
But if you make enough money from the tour or something.
Someday.
Possibly. But yeah, it's really cool there. And
he said something.
Oh, what'd you say?
What's your favorite movie?
So Evil Dead Rise is one of them. But okay. You know the game Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new movie of it?
No.
It came out like late October. It was so good. The ending was just amazing.
Was it just like the game?
It was like the game, but it was like a horror movie. It was awesome. There were so many death scenes, and like it just had a really good ending. It was just Five Nights at Freddy's movie was just awesome. Like if you ever need a movie to watch, just watch the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. It's just, you might not understand it completely because you don't know, like, I don't think you know the like game lore, but
I probably know more about that than you'd think.
You play Five Nights at Freddy's?
I don't play it, but I watch a lot of like YouTubers that have played it and talk about it a lot.
Do you know what the Bite of 87 is?
Unfortunately, I do, yeah.
Yep. Was that the Bite of 87?
I know, I just by like osmosis, just like by being around it and watching stuff that is, you know, adjacent or next to it, I know a bunch of stuff about.
Well, I watched the movie then, because there are a ton of references. It is awesome.
It's not a thing that I'm necessarily into, because it's not the kind of game that I would ever play.
Yeah, but even if you don't play the games, like, it's still a great movie, even if you have no idea what the games are about.
They also made that Nicolas Cage movie that was essentially the same thing.
No.
There was a Nicolas Cage movie that came out a few years ago that's like the same idea of like a guy working at a like a Freddy Fazbear kind of place.
Oh. Wait, do you know who William Afton is?
Not off the top, no.
He's in the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's, he's like the main bad evil character.
Is he like
he's not an animatronic. He like.
Is he the guy that made the animatronics?
Made the animatronics, but.
There you go.
It's a ton of lore, so.
There is. There's a lot of lore. There's all those little
tiny Easter eggs in the game, and it all adds up to this crazy, like, across all the games. It's nuts.
There's all those little, like, Atari style games in the games.
Yep.
See, I know stuff. I'm down with the kids. I know things about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yep. So, if you could tell your 12-year-old self anything at all, what would you tell him?
Stop learning so much about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Wait, it didn't come out when you were 12.
No, it didn't come out when I was 12.
The system
out when I was 12 was probably GameCube and PlayStation 2. So.
We have a PS2 because we have a DDR thing, because my mom will play DDR. Well, she used to play DDR sometimes. And Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
But we also have it for Guitar Hero. And I think there were also, like, Shrek games or something, because my brother loves Shrek. And he wanted to play those, so.
But if I could tell my 12-year-old self something, and if it... I mean, I feel like most people probably have the same kind of answer. That's like, you want to tell yourself something that's going to happen that's going to be bad so you can avoid it in the future. Like,
wait, but what about the butterfly? Like, what about the butterfly effect? Like, you won't, then you'll know it'll happen. Mm-hmm. And then But then, like, it would have never happened to you, so you would have not known it. So then you would have never told it, and then it would happen again, and then you would tell it, and then it's confusing.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing would happen no matter what you tell yourself. If you told yourself, I mean, if you told yourself anything, if you went back in time and told yourself, you know, don't be so hard on yourself or something like that. If you actually took that to heart, like, you're going to change the future. The whole idea of the butterfly effect is that if you, you know, if you stepped or killed upon, if you stepped on or killed a butterfly in the past, that, like, or, you know, a butterfly flapping its wings differently or somewhere else, that because you, you know, changed its course, could affect everything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The idea.
Also, have you seen the movie from the late 90s, The Butterfly Effect?
I don't think I actually have.
It's really cool. I watched it the other night with my mom, and it's just a really cool movie.
Isn't Ashton Kutcher in it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's like the main guy in it.
The best thing he ever did.
Yeah, they really tried to make Ashton Kutcher like an actual actor for all of, you know, 3 minutes in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Didn't really work.
So, yeah, anything to add before we wrap it up?
I mean, I never came up with anything to tell my younger self. And I don't know what I would tell myself. I would probably.
I don't want to tell him anything. Maybe it was, they could mess up something in your life. Like, that's how the Butterfly Effect movie.
Maybe I would tell my, I mean, if I could impress an idea upon myself at a younger age, it would be like, it doesn't matter. Nothing really matters. Like, get into being a nihilist earlier. It'll help. It'll help everything.
Yeah, so thanks for Josh. Thanks to Josh for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for watching or listening. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel or follow me on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Until next week, bye.
Trying, and this side is A, and this side is B, and there's a little 2 there. That means squared. So we're gonna take that, and we're gonna say that we know what. Your dad probably uses fucking...
Yeah, Pythagorean theorem.
What does it mean?
See?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Yeah, but why?